This support is squarely at odds with the posture of helpless detachment typically adopted by Obama officials and their supporters. Each time Israel attacks Gaza and massacres its trapped population, Glenn Greenwald continues, from the end of 2008 to the fall of 2012, and now again over this past month, the same process repeats itself. In both U.S. media and government circles, the United States government feeds Israel the weapons it uses, steadfastly defends the aggression publicly and at the UN, and the United States Congress unanimously enacts one resolution after the next to support and enable Israel, and then American media figures pretend that the Israeli attack has nothing to do with their country, that it's just some sort of unfortunate, intractable, distant conflict between two equally intransigent foreign parties. The new Snowden document illustrates the crucial fact: Israeli aggression would be impossible without the constant, lavish support and overwhelming protection of the United States government, which is anything but a neutral peace brokering party in these attacks. This is a significant and substantial document with disclosures of the concrete aid and support, the material support, the intelligence support, the financial support, and the arms that the United States provides the Israelis and replenishes for the Israelis even as the slaughter goes on. That's the basic underpinning of the reality of the U.S. relationship to the Israeli massacre of the people of Gaza.
Thank you, Mr. Shulman. Let's cross over back to our correspondent, Hisham Anouz in Gaza. Hisham, I'm sure you've been speaking to the people of Gaza, to Palestinians in Gaza. What do they feel about how the international community has responded, or lack of response of the international community, to this latest war on Gaza? It surpassed Operation Cast Lead in terms of duration. It surpassed Operation Cast Lead in terms of casualties. It surpassed Operation Cast Lead and Operation Pillar of Cloud, the Pillar of Defense, the operations that took place in 2012. Both of them combined in terms of children being killed, innocent children being slaughtered in the attacks. Are they angry at the international community for their lack of response? Are they more angry at the United States or certain countries for the unwavering support that they've been giving to the Israelis? Tell us about the grievances and the thoughts of the people of Gaza during these tough times.
After this offensive protective edge has started, people in Gaza, and after the very early few days of the operation, realized the fact that the world has turned its over to them. People in Gaza, most of them, feel that they have been left alone to face the Israeli tanks, shelling, jet fighters, naval boats, war boats. And also, they feel that they have been betrayed by the humanity of the entire world, as the people also here in Gaza feel that the international community has been covering the massacres done by Israel against them. People in Gaza also feel that they are facing this barbaric attack by themselves. They are feeling defenseless. They are feeling helpless. However, every citizen in Gaza here is almost supporting the resistance, because it's the only way to defend their right of existence. It's the only way to maintain their right to be on this ground, their own ground. It's the only way they feel that would really pursue and fulfill their demands, their right of existence on this land. People didn't actually care more about the international community and support and the eyes of the world towards the people in Gaza as humans being killed. They do not care about that anymore, because they are so depressed about it. They feel so negative about it. So they started to care about more and more important things, like the unity of the Palestinian community, and the staying fast of the people in Gaza, and to resist in any possible means the children here are resisting by their ability to survive this war. The women here are also resisting by keeping their families safe and providing them the food and the care needed. The men here are also resisting. The civilians, civilian men are also resisting by taking care of their families, challenging all the difficulties and the killing and the attacking in order to go out and then bring them back food and the medicine needed. So every part, every member of this Palestinian community, especially in Gaza Strip, is resisting. It's not just about using the weapons or the rockets against the Israeli military. It's more about the ability to maintain resisting psychologically, physically, economically, culturally. So it's now the time to talk about more issues important than how the international community is treating the Protective Edge massacre, especially after in this operation, in this offensive operation, Protective Edge, which is much, much more harder and barbaric than the previous to the Castle in 2008 and the Pillar of Defense in 2012, as the number of the children killed and massacred in this operation is more than 425. This has never happened to the Gazan people before. The Palestinians have bled enough, they have lost enough, they have been destroyed enough to realize how the international community is looking at them. So they are focusing more about their inner power, they are focusing more, about their ability to go through these difficulties, go through this devastating situation in order to be more able to survive and continue their struggle towards the liberation.
Thank you, Hisham. Ralph Schoenman in Berkeley, our correspondent, says that Palestinians believe they are facing this war alone. Is that really the case? Where do they have to turn to get justice for the lives lost in the Israeli attacks? Where do the Palestinians have to turn to get justice for all these children, innocent children that have perished for no reason? And when will we see the Israelis be held accountable for what they've committed against the people of Gaza and other actions in the region?
You have to be clear about this. The major states of the global arena are acquiescent and supportive of this atrocity that is being inflicted upon the people of Gaza. The sentiment amongst the population is quite another thing. There's outrage across the United States. There's outrage across Great Britain. There are demonstrations in almost every city. There is a huge outcry on the part of the public, but notwithstanding that, the governments and the regimes continue. I should point out that as the report from Rafah made clear, Rafah was excluded from Israel's so-called ceasefire in the Gaza Strip. The city has suffered under continued Israeli shelling and airstrikes, whether there's been a so-called ceasefire or not. Quote, the smell of bodies knocks people down. It is horrible to see human bodies thrown under the streets everywhere. The missiles are hitting everyone. There is nowhere for us to seek shelter, Mohammed Abu Sada told Al Jazeera. Corpses of dead Palestinians have overwhelmed the morgues at Rafah's hospitals, and relatives have been left with no option but to keep their loved ones in commercial refrigerators. At the city's Kuwaiti hospital, the stream of ambulances negotiating its way through crowds of medical staff and families deliver bodies that have to be laid out on the gravel outside the building, the area itself then subject to subsequent attack. Many of the dead have no one to bury them except distant relatives, as Israeli airstrikes in Gaza kill members of the same families repeatedly. On Saturday, four members of Mohammed Abu Taha's family were killed when Israel struck their home, including children and one woman. An Israeli airstrike on the Al Ghul family in Rafah killed eight family members on Sunday, including two women and three children, 1 month, 3 years, and 13 years old. Relatives crowd around the bodies at Kuwaiti Hospital, stroking their fingers across blood-stained faces of the 6-year-old Malik and 13-year-old Ismail. The doctors have no space in the hospital ward for the family, so those small enough to fit have to be placed in ice cream freezers. This is just an indication of the magnitude of the genocidal onslaught that has occurred in Rafah as in all over Gaza, but Rafah excluded from the so-called ceasefire. The civilian population remains a continuous target, and the states of the major states of the world sustain the Israeli operation, although their respective populations are outraged and mobilizing against this. The crime of the genocidal onslaught against the people of Gaza, against the Palestinian people, will never be resolved as long as the Israeli state continues to exist, and as long as the major imperial powers are its main financial and military support, its diplomatic support, its political support, and its sustenance to keep its murder apparatus going on an ongoing basis.
All right, thank you very much. Author of Hidden History of Zionism, Mr. Ralph Shulman, joining us from Berkeley. And also special thanks to our correspondent, Hisham Mahana, who's joining us from the Gaza Strip. Of course, we're going to keep a close eye on the developments regarding the war on Gaza right here on Press TV.